Few things in life are as disappointing as when the moving van shows up and some of your stuff has broken in transit. That's why U.S. Transportation Command takes special care in choosing the companies that move service members around the world. Or does it? Turns out more than dishes and glasses get banged up in those moves. A lot more. Joining me with a sad story, DOD reporter Jared Serbu. Jared, this one is kind of hard to read, actually, today in today's notebook. What's going on with Transcom? They've got a big problem.
It is a sad story. We should say at the outset that most of the problems that we're talking about are now fixed, but it was a very serious problem during particularly the summer of 2014, and this is still winding its way through the courts. Hundreds and potentially eventually more than 1,000 service members suing the company who is responsible for moving military vehicles around the world under a new contract. And just for folks that don't know, that is an entitlement that you get in the military when they order you overseas or from one overseas location to another. The military picks up the cost of moving not only your stuff, but your car, too.
Just as a point of clarification, What about domestic moves?
For domestic moves, you don't get that. Sometimes if you're moving from one coast to another and it's approved by our command, that will happen on the military's dime.
So
but generally, you're responsible for
Nellis
moving your
to Vandenberg,
car.
You got to drive.
Generally, yeah. Yeah, okay. That's right. In any case, what happened was the company that had been handling these personally owned vehicle moves since 1998 eventually lost the contract after a round of bid protests. The incumbent vendor fought really hard to keep that contract. They eventually lost to a new company that came pretty much out of nowhere called International Auto Logistics. This company had no past performance. Even though Transcom said that they were going to use past performance as a major evaluation factor in the competition, the only past performance that they could point to was saying essentially this European subcontractor that we promised that we're going to use has done a good job for some European countries. So that was the only past performance they had. In any case, when they took over the contract, pretty much everything that could have gone wrong suddenly did go wrong. That was in May of 2014. Almost immediately, you had service members complaining that their cars hadn't shown up. The tracking information on the company's website was wrong. Their cars were sent to the wrong country. There was damage that happened in transit in many cases when the cars did show up. So that was a major problem, as we said, in the summer of 14. Their on-time delivery rate never got above 70%. 98% is what was stipulated in the contract. So it took a long time to get this all ironed out. And the reason we're talking about it today is the DOD Inspector General's investigation into this whole debacle has just come out. They concluded that Transcom made up to $162 million in improper payments during the course of all these problems during the summer.
And do we know what their total outlays were?
So we don't know that so far. We do know that they've finished the first period of performance under that contract, and Transcom has gone back to the same vendor to issue its first extension. They issued that last October, presumably because they think things are running smoothly now, which we should say they are. According to the DODIG, that on-time delivery rate is now up to 97%. But they had a lot of problems to iron out in the first place. And as I said, there is still a class action lawsuit still pending that the company, International Auto Logistics, is still fighting in court. So
27,000 cars late, and a lot of them damaged. Some of them wrecked, actually, right?
At least some of them. The IG report doesn't get into that, but there are parties to the class action lawsuit that claim that at least some of whom claim that their cars were total losses. This entire debacle cost the company a fair amount of money too, because they're on the hook to pay for rental cars and various other expenses when people's cars don't show up on time. And we should say the time frames that DOD gives the vendor are pretty generous. I think if you're moving, for example, from Europe to the continental United States, it's something like 65 days that you have to get a car from Spain to Norfolk or whatever. So it's a pretty extended period of time. I think one of the challenges the company has had is that under U.S. law, they're supposed to give a preference to U.S. flagged shipping carriers, and the number of those has dwindled a bit over the years. So there have been some challenges around
I guess
that.
It's safe to say, too, a lot of service members really value their cars. You see a lot of really good pickup trucks and tricked-out cars. I mean, it's kind of a kind of a thing among that age group, I guess, especially for the enlisted.
Absolutely. It's a huge thing. And I would say even more so for officers. Suddenly you get out of the academy and you've got some decent money in your pocket for the first time in your life. A very big thing to do as soon as you get your commission is go buy a nice car. So yeah, it's a very personal thing to a lot of military service members. They don't want to just leave their car locked up in a garage in the States and have nothing to drive when they're in Europe or South Korea or whatever other overseas location. And just quickly to go back to the improper payments issue, Tom, I said $162 million in improper payments over that course of time. Some of those were probably underpayments. Some of them were probably overpayments. But the entire reason that happened was that this new vendor was submitting invoices back to Transcom that didn't have, basic required information like invoice numbers, the total amount billed, the exact services rendered. Transcom made the decision, all right, we just got to keep paying these guys because we've got to work our way through this. So that's where that $162 million came from. They're now going through what they call a negotiated settlement process with the vendor, where the contracting officer is going through vehicle by vehicle trying to decide, was there an overpayment here? Let's negotiate on what the final payment should be. So again, some of those were probably overpayments, some were underpayments. We do know that at least $5 million of that $162 million total was definitely overpayments because that represents vehicles that were all delivered way past due. That problem peaked in October of 2014 when just in that month alone there were 5,477 cars delivered after the required delivery date, $1 million in improper payments in that month alone. So that shows you how bad it was at that point.
We're speaking with DOD reporter Jared Serbo. So it looks like from the IG report they're just as upset with the contractor's performance as they are with Transcom and its inability to get its arms around the right controls it needed to keep this from spiraling to the degree that it did.
Yeah, it's a couple things there. I would say when you look at Transcom's official response in the report, they're pretty much pointing the finger entirely at the contractor and saying, hey, these guys just failed to perform. I think the ODIG has a very different view. They're saying that there was just extremely poor oversight on the part of Transcom. I think you could make a suggestion, although the DOD IG doesn't explicitly say this, that Transcom may not have done their due diligence in the first place to make sure that this company actually could perform. And the incumbent vendor was basically screaming from the rooftops before the contract was finally awarded that, look, this company has no track record.
Sounds like Mo and Larry got together and said, hey, we can move cars around the world.
Yeah, I'm not sure I want to go that far, but yeah, it's definitely true that this company didn't have much experience doing exactly what this contract called for, which makes sense. I mean, you're not going to have a whole lot of competition and a multitude of vendors doing this very niche task, moving military members' vehicles around the world. It's a pretty specialized field, so you can understand why there's not a whole lot of companies out there with a huge, extensive track record.
But it's really a quality of life issue in many ways, because this is something very personal, very expensive to the service members that are being moved. And it also runs, as you said, the gamut of rank all the way up to generals that get moved around to people that are at the lower ranks.
Yeah, that's right. And just quickly, again, on the oversight piece of this, one of the things that the DOD IG pointed to is that even though Transcom had contracting officer representatives around the world, basically in all of the company's facilities, reporting back on their performance, there was just extremely poor communication between those cores and the contracting officers. They did not have access to the financial IT system that Transcom uses so that they could check that the invoices that the company was submitting actually reflected the work that they saw in front of their faces. The contracting officer had apparently told the Corps not to submit discrepancy reports on the contractor's performance. Transcom disputes that really had anything to do with its ability to oversee the contract, but it's hard to see exactly how that's right.
So what happens from here? Does this company still have incumbency, or is Transcom looking new at this whole deal?
Like I said, they just issued an extension of the contract back in October, so it looks like they're planning to stick with this company at least in the short term. Now that things are up and running and running somewhat smoothly, the government has apparently decided not to pursue legal action against the company. As I said, they're going through a negotiated settlement process because litigation would be much more complicated. But the company has not been able to avoid litigation from individual service members. They have argued argued in federal court that these individual service members don't have standing to sue, basically that, look, our contract is with the government, not with individual service members, so that's the proper venue to pursue any remedies here. But so far, a judge has not bought that argument, and it looks like they may be about to certify this class, and things will move forward. We shall see.
Well, let's see what happens when a 4-star Street Glide gets dropped into the tank. Maybe that'll change things.
Yeah, that very well may.
Federal News Radio's DOD reporter Jared Serbu. Read his reporter's notebook online now and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.